Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd please turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 6, beginning at verse 41. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1135. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 41. Just to set the context a little bit here, Jesus had just had this miracle, the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, where he feeds 5,000 people. There's something wrong with our... Oh, I'm sorry, John. Yes, John 6, not John 11. I think the page is right, though. Is that? Yeah, page is correct. The chapter is wrong. It's right on the outlines, so I got one out of two. Actually, it must be somebody else I can blame this on. Okay, John chapter 6, page 1135. Just set the context. Jesus has just done the multiplication of loaves, feeding 5,000 people. You can imagine that makes you quite popular when you can just generate food out of nothing. So he's got this huge crowd that's now following him around. It's like, hey, this guy is for a free lunch, you know, sugar daddy. So they're following him around, and now he starts to tell them these things like, well, I am the bread of life, and some hard sayings. And so they're challenged by this. And so we pick it up kind of in the middle, where they're kind of saying to him, now, you know, what are you going to do for us, by the way, if we follow you? And he's saying, well, it's just because you're filled, your bellies, you're following me. And so we've got this controversy going back and forth. So John chapter 6, verse 41. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. Remember what the Israelites did in the wilderness? What did they do? They grumbled. No grumbling in the church today. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. And this is the word of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? This is the word of the Lord, which means that it's the Word of God. We're going to be kind of challenged by that today, because this truly is a mystery that we do not understand. But particularly, I want to talk today about this mystery and how it relates to healing that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. First, I want to go back and just summarize that when Jesus sent the disciples out, he did not send them out to pray for healing. He didn't say, go out and ask the Father to heal. He said, heal them. It was a command. So what did they do? They went out and they started healing everywhere. Even after the resurrection of Jesus, what did the early church do? People were bringing all these sick people to them, and they were healing all of them. So healing was very prevalent in the early church, not just as an add-on ministry. You could pick a church and say, oh, by the way, does that church have a healing ministry? Since the earliest days, it has been the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been not only eternal life, but in fact healing in this life as well. And so I have come to believe, as I shared with you, that because of my belief in Jesus Christ, I will lay hands on people, and by faith in Jesus Christ, those people will be healed. I believe that because the Word of God, that's what it says. A second thing I believe is that if I proclaim truth, that Jesus will help me and he will affirm the truth of what's being proclaimed by accompanying signs, of which I believe the primary one will be healing. So I stand up here and I teach, I say I'm proclaiming truth, truth of God's word. Jesus says, okay, yes, he's proclaiming truth. How does he say that? He affirms it by the signs and wonders that accompany it. So I stand up here and preach, and then we pray for healing, and people get healed. Oh, I guess that's truth, because it's being proclaimed. So there's a proclamation of truth along with the healing that Jesus gives. Now, a third thing I believe, again, from Mark's gospel that we looked at a couple weeks ago, is that the only thing that will prevent this power from being released will be my own unbelief and hardness of heart. As I talked about, it's not a matter of wrestling, well, do I believe or do I don't? I believe it's simply a matter of asking the question, do you want to believe? If I want to believe, yes, I want to believe that Jesus heals people. God says, that's enough. I can use that. Just a mustard seed. That's all I need. And we accept that word. So what I believe is that this ministry of healing, this proclamation of truth, the accompanying of laying on of hand and just pronouncing, as Jesus did in most of his healing ministries, laying on a hand, pronouncing a healing in his name, what the early church did, I believe as that is done, that people will be healed in that they will be strengthened in body, soul, and spirit, strengthened mentally, emotionally, in terms of spiritually, and yes, even physically. And as we do this week after week, service after service, I believe that healing power just multiplies and multiplies and gets stronger and stronger. What most of us challenge for healing is that somebody prays over us and it's like, am I immediately healed and completely healed? And if not, then, well, I guess I don't believe in it. I believe what God has said. Now, that might happen to some people. Some have already said that they feel power. But I believe it's that persistent, over time, application of the healing power of the name of Jesus Christ, that that fullness of healing does come, as I shared last week for all people. And so that is what we're talking about here over the last 3 weeks. Now, the fact that we offer it in the process of receiving communion at the beginning was kind of a matter of convenience, because while you're here at the rail, if you would like this prayer of healing, you just touch your forehead or touch your shoulder. I lay my hand on you and I say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But I've now come to believe, as I've prayed more over the last few weeks, but particularly in this last week, that this is not just a matter of convenience, connecting healing with Holy Communion. And so I want to look today at what we believe about Holy Communion, what the Scriptures reveal about Holy Communion, and how that is connected to this work of God, this healing that he does. So the first thing I would say is that in order to accept this teaching, we need to acknowledge that the truth of Scripture does not rely on human reason. Okay, I can't say, well, I don't think that's true because it doesn't make sense. We need to recognize, you know, the things of God are God's ways are higher than our ways. And so in a sense, we're kind of challenged very much as the crowd was in the time of Jesus. Remember the crowd when he's talking to them about, I'm giving you my flesh. And the crowd said to him, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And they meant it very literally, because it's like, that's this guy crazy? How can he give us his flesh to eat? Jesus meant it very literally. And so for that, they're like, we can't stay. We can't deal with this anymore. Even though it's a free lunch, we can't deal with this anymore. And so in fact, they had to say, they walked away. They abandoned him. And so the first thing, the first challenge for us, I think, is to say, what is it that the scriptures reveal? Now, we just heard in our reading from John, Jesus said, my flesh is true or real food, and my blood is true or real drink. And all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus at the Last Supper held up the bread and said, this is my body. It's pretty clear. This is my body. He held up the chalice, the cup of blood, of wine, and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Pretty clear. Now, it would have been enough in amazement for Jesus just to have done that. He said, well, okay, Jesus did that at the last. That's great. That's amazing. Wow, Jesus. Of course, he's God incarnate. You know? But then he went on to say something in some ways even more astounding for us. He said, now, I want you to do this in memory of me. Have you ever had something, you saw somebody do something, and they said, wow, that's really impressive. And now they said, by the way, you can do the same thing. I'm like, whoa, I don't know about that. And that's what he says. He says, this is my body, this is my blood, the bread, the wine. And now he says, I want you all to do the same thing in remembrance of me. What an astounding statement that he made. And of course, that's the very essence of why we do what we do here each Sunday. Is the prayer, as Jesus said, over the bread and the wine and the body and blood of Christ. He gave that authority to the church all the way back then and has been part of the church ever since. And so what amazing thing we have to look at this. And it boggles the mind because it doesn't make sense. Now, I was raised in a Roman Catholic church. From the earliest time, we were told, oh, this is the body and blood of Christ. You know, if you served, in fact, if it was dropped, boy, it was, you know, you don't even touch it. I mean, it was so holy, so, you know, beyond, you know. So I was kind of raised before I questioned myself. What it really means or what my faith really meant. Now, as with all of us, we come to a certain time, somewhere probably between the teen years, that we start to ask ourselves, okay, up to this point, I've accepted the faith of my parents. Now, what do I believe personally? And we all go through that time, that questioning of saying, do I just accept what my parents always believed, or do I believe something different? And so I went through that along with all of us. Now, as I went through that, I was led to this. Well, what is this Holy Communion? I was led to these words, and I chose to say, I believe the plain reading of Scripture, even though I don't understand it. I call it the body and blood of Christ because Jesus called it the body and blood of Christ. Now, I know there's many in the church today that did not grow up from that kind of a background. Many of us grew up in a background where we were taught, as in the Reformation, this was one of the great controversies in the Reformation, back with Martin Luther and John Calvin, among others. Is it just a symbol of the body and blood of Christ, or is it in fact the real body and blood of Christ? Now, I think we take the words of Scripture is what I would encourage to take them literally. Jesus said, this is my body and this is my blood. The challenge, particularly if we've not grown up with this, the challenge is to say, well, that doesn't make sense. That can't be. We can't understand it. And that's what I'm saying. We've got to acknowledge that the authority of Scripture comes from the words of Scripture, not whether it makes sense to us or not. So that's the first thing I offer to you, is that when we're talking about Holy Communion, according to Scripture, we're talking about body and blood. Now, one of the blessings, I believe, of the Anglican Church is that we don't try to explain how it happens. In Roman Catholicism, you have transubstantiation. It says the very substance of the bread and wine now becomes body and blood. We don't acknowledge that. The Anglican Church officially does not recognize this transubstantiation teaching. The 39 Articles refute that. In the Lutheran Church, you may have come from Lutheran background, they have what's called consubstantiation. It says, well, it's both. In the Anglican Church, we don't try to explain how it happens. We just believe that what's called the doctrine of real presence. Somehow, some way, we believe that Christ is really present in the bread and the wine. That's Anglican theology. The doctrine of real presence. So we don't know how it happens, We call it the body and blood of Christ because that's what Jesus called it. And although it doesn't make sense, we can't figure it out, can't understand it, we simply use the words of Scripture and we leave the rest to God. So that's the first thing. We're talking about the body and blood of Christ. A second thing I would say about this communion is what we heard from John's Gospel. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So here we have this issue of abiding. A very interesting concept, to abide in Christ and Christ to abide in us. Now let's think, what kind of a body does Jesus have? He has a perfect resurrected body. And somehow, again, we don't understand it, we now are abiding in that perfect resurrected body. Not only that, but that perfect resurrected body is now abiding in us. Beyond human understanding. But I believe there's something there to say about our own health and well-being because we've got this perfect resurrected body now abiding within us. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's what Jesus said. If you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you abide in me, and I abide in you. A third thing we would get back to is Paul talked in 1 Corinthians. This is just before the reading that we did today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And he makes an amazing statement. He says, the cup of blessing that we bless, that's what the wine is. It's the third cup, the cup of blessing of the Passover meal. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? What an amazing statement. We're participating in the blood of Christ? I mean, that's what he says. Remember, this is 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus. The church has had 20 years to kind of figure out, well, what do we believe about this? And here's Paul saying, it is a participation in the blood of Christ. He said, the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? So now we've got this third concept here of participation. The Greek word participation is not just one-sided, it's a mutual participation. It's used as a mutual sharing. It actually means it's used for intercourse, as a very intimate connection. So we participating in the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, like, wow. Wow, what an amazing statement that is. Again, what kind of a body is that Jesus has? It is a perfect resurrected body. And we now are participating in that very body. Amazing statement that Jesus makes. Okay, the fourth thing. This gets back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people were specifically forbidden to drink the blood of the sacrificed animal. Do you know why? Because the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. So in the Old Testament, absolutely forbidden. Do not drink the blood. Anyone who drinks it is cut off from the people. At the Last Supper, what does Jesus say to the disciples? This is my blood, and guess what? I want you to drink it. In fact, all of you, I want you to drink it. We don't drink blood. I mean, it's amazing enough, he said, this is my blood. Then he says, drink it. We don't drink blood. The very reason that the Hebrew people could not drink the blood was because the life was in the blood. They could not drink it. The very reason that now Jesus tells us to drink the blood is because the life is in the blood. It's like, wow. Again, this is beyond human understanding, isn't it? But it just boggles the mind, and I just get overwhelmed. Like, oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. A fifth one, I would say, is, again, back to what we heard in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He talked about this warning about receiving in an unworthy manner. Now, listen to this. This affects our physical health. Listen to this. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Now later on he says we'll sin against the body or not recognizing the body of the Lord. Some commentaries believe that what Paul's talking about here is recognizing the church as the body of Christ. Remember when our reading he talked about, hey, you all are coming and some of you are getting drunk and you're eating and other people are going hungry. He's talking about life within the body of the church. And some people say, well, that carries on. Now he's talking about recognizing the church as the body of Christ. I actually believe it's more than that because of this very thing. He says, Whoever drink the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. It's both. He says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many are weak and ill, and some have died. It's like, oh my goodness, to receive in an unworthy manner brings on sickness, and in some cases even death. That's an amazing statement. Is there a connection between the spiritual and the physical? I think so. Now, my point about this is that if we, in fact, receive in an unworthy manner and it leads to sickness and death, how much more so to receive in a worthy manner will bring health and long life? This spiritual power affects us physically. That's the point I'm trying to make in this section. It's like, oh my goodness. This bread and wine, this body and blood, as Jesus called it, this is really amazing. Really amazing. And when we start to look back in Scripture, when we have this mindset, by the way, we look back in Scripture, like Psalm 34. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. What an awkward thing to say. Taste and see that the Lord is good? And yet we'd go all the way back. Remember what it was called in the temple when they had the showbread out? It's called the bread of the presence. No explanation why, but it's replaced once a week, by the way. Only the priest could eat it. Back then, only the priest could eat it. Today, you know what? Only priests can eat it. Who are the priests? Priesthood of believers. If you believe, you are part of the priesthood believer. That's another thing. 1 Peter tells us that. Amazing. Okay, that's why when we offer this invitation, I say, all who believe in Jesus Christ are welcome to come forward. Because if you don't believe, you should not be receiving. You should not be receiving. Not that we're trying to ostracize people. We're just saying for your own good, just don't receive. Because this is powerful stuff. And if you don't actually believe it, then you can bring actually sickness on yourself. That's what Paul says. Again, is this the word of God? Yes. And so this is amazing. It's a taste and see that the Lord has gone all the way back into the Psalms. Another thing that struck me was remembering when Jesus met Peter by the lake after his resurrection. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Three different times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? But each time Peter, yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Do you remember what he said to Peter? He didn't say, lead my sheep. He didn't say, I want you to make disciples of my sheep. Do you know what remember what he said? He said, feed my sheep. When I went back to that this week, I'm like, is he talking about communion? Is it that important? Is it that central to our faith that he gave us this body and blood, this sacrament that we call Holy Communion, the breaking of the bread? Could it be that important? I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe this is the greatest thing. I mean, I guess aside from the Holy Spirit, you know, we have the Word of God. Certainly God is present. But this is really something special. That he says, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you abide in me, and I abide in you. And if we eat the bread and drink that, we're participating in the body of Christ, the perfect resurrected body of Christ. We're participating in the blood of Christ. And what is in the blood? The life is in the blood. Wow. I mean, this is all about healing and wholeness. And the presence of God within us. The Holy Spirit, yes. But this is the most visible thing we have of partaking the bread and the wine. So when I offer the bread and the wine to you, when I hold it up and I say the body of Christ, the bread of life, I say amen. Many of you do as well. We hold up the cup, the blood of Christ, the cup of the new covenant. Amen. When it's offered to you, and you say amen, you're saying, yes, I everything that's been said about it, everything over the bread and wine, I receive that, I accept it. And to me, that is receiving in a worthy manner. And it's at that point to then have this visible manifestation of a laying on of hand and a prayer, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's like, wow. It just boggles the mind. So I think this connection we've had between the communion and the healing, I think it's part of the plan all along. And I think it's something that is amazing. And I don't know why we didn't know this before, but I think there's a new season now that's being just poured out, this power. And it's going to be poured out. Not only for us, but I believe God's going to use this in the area to bring people to Jesus. Because you know people who are hurting, people who need healing, not just physical healing, but spiritual healing, healing of relationships, emotional healing. And to say, we have something in our church, it's called Holy Communion. And through that, we abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us, and we participate in His body and blood, and we receive an abiding of His resurrected body. Wow. To me, that's fulfilling. When Jesus told the disciples, go out and I want you to heal the people. I'm giving you power to heal the people. Here it is, use it. The authority is there. And I again believe over time, constant, day, you know, week after week, this power is just going to be applied more and more. This is an amazing gift that God has given us. Nothing else like it. An amazing gift, the body and blood of Christ and the bread and the wine. Do we understand it? No. That's why we need to be very careful we use the words that Jesus used. My body, my blood. My brothers and sisters in Christ. The kingdom of God is upon us. It's here. It is here, and with it is the power. And part of that power is the power to heal. Which means that the best is yet to come, because God loves you more than you can imagine. Let us pray. O gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of presence, this gift of healing in the body and the blood, the bread and the wine. And Lord, I thank you for the awareness of your word, the truth of your word, the receiving of your word by your Holy Spirit, that we could bring this into ourselves. And even if it doesn't make sense, Lord, we can accept it and say, yes, amen, I believe it is true. So, Lord God, may you pour out your Spirit through the body and the blood as you designed, as you revealed by your word. May we receive that healing, each and every one of us, in body, soul, and spirit, all to the glory of your precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen.